The message I want to share with you today is fundamental. It is a message that is foundational to our walk in God, for us to receive anything that we need from God. The Word of God tells us in the book of Ephesians, if you may come with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to take it up from the 23rd verse. The Word of God says here, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, he says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'll read it again. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And verse 24 says, "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let me combine that particular two passages together with this passage of scripture found in Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Beginning to read from verse 10. It says, "And I've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And have put on the new man." Verse 9 says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed." The new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 again. Ephesians 4 and 23 states, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians 3, 9 and 10 again. Take me there. 4:23 says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." It says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds," seeing that you have done what? Put off the old man with his deeds, "and have put on the new man, which is renewed." Which is renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, which is renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It says, be this. But then it says that when we put on the new man, that new man is already renewed. Are you with me so far? So, be renewed in your mind, in the spirit of your mind, is about you and I putting on Jesus Christ and putting off the old man. It is something that is already done for us. It is already accomplished. and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new man was created by someone, by God. Take me back to Ephesians 4:23-24. Ephesians, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. If there is righteousness and something called true holiness, there must be something called false holiness. Would you agree with that? There's a righteousness and there is a true holiness, a true separation. Because when we're talking about holiness, we're talking about being separated. So there is a place where you are truly separated unto God. And there's a place where you are not truly separated unto God. And that happens when you have not truly put off the old man. That is the one thing that you and I are required to do. Put off the old man and put on the new man. We're called to, God is not going to put off the old man for you. You do that. You say, how do I do that? By speaking it out of your mouth. By declaring out of your mouth that you are not that old man that you used to be. That you are a new person and you are that new person in Christ. Not based on the deeds that you have done, but on a finished work that he's already accomplished and completed. The mind of Christ is not a mind of failure. It's not a mind of defeat. It's not a mind of confusion. It's not a mind of sickness and disease. It's not a mind of poverty and lack. And therefore, since that used to be part of your old man, and you separated yourself from that, you've got to see yourself in this newness that is already in the thinking of God, the mind of God. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. You have it. I have it. Now, if I gave you the most expensive vehicle in the earth, whatever vehicle that is, I gave it to you. I gave you the keys. I gave you the papers. I gave you everything that you need. I hand it over to you. The gas tank is full. It is yours. Nobody can take it from you. If you don't go and drive that car, have you experienced that car? No. You have it, but you've not experienced it because you've not used it. Most of us as believers have not used what God has already given to us. We're still attached to an old life, whatever that life was, and we still think in the light of that old life, and we don't see ourselves in the newness of life that God has already given to us. He says, this is yours. It's yours. Take it. Take it. Use it. The word of God says the people of Israel did not experience the miracles or the power of God in their lives because of a lack of exercise of use. You don't grow in the things of God if you don't exercise the use of it. You are not going to see the sick healed if you don't lay hands on them. If God's word says lay hands on the sick. You're not going to see them healed if you don't speak the word of God and say, be healed in Jesus' name. It's not going to happen because you've not used the word of God. You're not going to know the redemption of God if you don't say, I am redeemed. The word of God says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You and I have to say what God's word says. Simply said, it is called confession. Nothing I'm saying to you tonight is new to you. The issue for us as believers many times is that we have an awareness of whatever it is that God says we have, but we have not exercised our faith to make use of it. If the blood shed at the Passover was to cover everyone in your household, everyone in my household, you do yourself a great disservice if you don't believe that God can save everybody in your household, and you see them saved by coming into agreement with the word of God. Not based on whatever it is they are doing right now, but based on you believing what the word of God said. I will save you and your household. The issue is coming to agreement with God. I stand in agreement with God. God says in his word, by the stripes of Jesus Christ I'm healed. Then guess what I'm going to say? I am healed. I tell you something. I believe in being transparent. And when I mess up, I know when I messed up. And I don't need anybody to come tell me I messed up before I tell you I messed up. During the times of my travels, because of very long trips, I had twisted something in my knee. And so it was hurting. And so I went to the chiropractor, and he started fooling around with it. It got better and stuff like that. He said to me, he says, I want you to come on Friday. I want you to come on Friday. So we check it one more time. It's been my third time going down there. And somehow, this afternoon, I started thinking I should go to the chiropractor. I wasn't hurting. Nothing was hurting. I'm thinking, I should go to the chiropractor. And I said, no, he said, come on Friday. And then the thought will come into my mind again. I should go to the chiropractor. But nothing is hurting. So I'm sitting down, having lunch. And all of a sudden, my back says, go to the chiropractor. All of a sudden, pain comes into my back. So guess what I did? I was expecting to go to the chiropractor on Wednesday. Not on Friday when he says, just come, let me check it. Just make sure everything is fine. But now, somehow, I took on the thinking of the enemy, and my back starts hurting, and it's hurting for real. It's not a figment of my imagination. I'm hurting for real. And it's not because I fell down and twisted myself. I'm sitting down. Are you sitting down and all of a sudden your back goes off? Doesn't make sense. Except that somehow, in when those thoughts were coming, I know better. I know what I should do. And maybe I did that for somebody's benefit. I know to rebuke the mind of the enemy. When the enemy brings a thought, you shut it down, because the thought is not the temptation. It's not the sin, rather. It's just an information. Not every thought that comes into your mind is generated by you. But there are some thoughts that you need to take. Jesus said, take no thought. Don't take certain thoughts and worry about what you're going to eat or drink or where you're going to stay or what clothes you're going to wear. Don't think tough. Don't be taking that thought. He says, but this is what you need to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and everything is going to be added unto you. He says, God already knows what you need, and is well able to do exceedingly far beyond that. What are you buying? There are things that may be true in the natural, but they are not the truth of God concerning you, concerning your finances, concerning your family, concerning your job, concerning your marriage, concerning whatever it is that's happening, your health. What you and I need to come into agreement with is the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? What does God's Word say? That is what causes my mind to be renewed. Because when you put on Christ, you put on the Word. For Jesus is the Word. Amen? He is the Word. So when you put Jesus on, you put the Word on. And the Word here is faith here. Because faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. But if the Word that I am hearing is already the Word that is here, then I have the Word of God that quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. I have put on Christ. I have put on the Word of God. It is the faith of God that I live my life by. Amen? Are we together? So the Word of God says, the new man is already renewed. You don't need to renew it. It's already renewed. But the statement then, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, then becomes this. Let go of the old man, put on the new man. Now, when we're talking about sin, we're not just talking about adultery and fornication and lying and cheating and all of that. Sin is missing the mark. Wherever I miss the mark, the target, that is what sin is. You don't have to do something morally wrong to be in sin. It's simply not being on target where God wants you to be. Hearing what God is saying and living out that. So the Word of God says, whatever you are not doing that's based on faith is sin. That's what sin is. It's not founded in faith. And faith is founded in the Word of God. Amen? Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. And verse 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's look at verse 1. Romans 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And it says, which is your reasonable service or act of worship. And then it says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be poured into the mold of this world. But rather, it says, but be ye transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind. Be changed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may do what? Prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How? Because your mind is renewed. You change by the renewing of your mind. But we just said something. We said that the renewed mind is already made. It's a done deal. It's a package that's already done, and you're taking it and putting it on. So what is it that it's saying to us when it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind? That ye may prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. What are we talking about? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the very fact that you have put on Christ, and Christ is the new operational system that is working in your life. This is the deal. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I what? Live, yet not I. It is Christ that's living in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am exchanging my failure, my defeat, my shame, my sickness, my disease, my whatever problem, I'm exchanging that, and I'm getting what he's got. And I'm doing that by faith. It is Christ that is living in me. I am not being poured into the mold of this world, but I'm transformed by having this renewed mind, which is now making it possible for me to prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Good, acceptable, perfect. Wow. Good, acceptable, perfect. Watch this. In the book of James, the Word of God says to us, in the book of James, chapter 1, remember, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, right there in that passage of scripture, the Word of God says, every good gift and every perfect gift. If it is good and it's perfect, it's acceptable. Will you say that? Will you agree with that? Now, it says that gift which is perfect, that gift which is good and is perfect, came from above. But generally, what we think, most believers think, is that it's the Cadillac that you own or the nice house that you just bought. But it has nothing to do with that. Because that good and perfect gift is you. It is you. It is me. I am that good gift. I am that perfect gift that came from above. And I came down from the Father of what? Lights. I came from the Father of lights. So if it's the Father of lights, then I must be light. Would that make sense? Because he's the Father of lights. He's not Father of dark ones, he's the Father of lights. You were once, the Bible says, you were once darkness. But I'm no longer darkness, I'm now light. And I came from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, there's no shiftiness about him, neither shadow of turning of his own will. Of his own will, verse 18. Of his own will begat. How? With the word of truth. How did he begot you? The word of truth. He spoke the truth. And that truth became you. That you and I should be kind, be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. A kind of first what? Fruits. A kind of what? First fruits. A kind of first fruits of his creatures, just like Jesus. A kind of first fruits. Now, when you talk about first fruits, the rest is blessed. So when you and I accept what God says and we allow ourselves to be begotten, because the way you got born again is by the word of truth. There are so many people sitting in church that are not born again because they did not hear the word of truth. What they heard was that they were sinners and they will continue to sin and live in sin and they will struggle through their life and they did not hear the word of God. That's not the truth of God. The truth of God says, I am saved, I am good, I am perfect. And I am proven that I am that good, acceptable. I am the accepted one, the beloved of God. I am perfect. I'm proving it. How am I proving it? By not being poured into the mold of this world that says, once a sinner, always a sinner. I refuse that life. I refuse that word. That's not me. What God says, that is, I am forgiven. God's word says, if I sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive me every sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's what the word of God says. So when I blow it, I don't say I'm a sinner. I say I'm more righteous that sinned. I am the perfect person that did something wrong. But what does the word tell you to say? Nobody is what? Perfect. Is that what the word of God says? No? The word of God doesn't say that. The word of God says that you are that good, that perfect gift that came from above. That's what the word of God says. So why do you say nobody's perfect? Now, if that's what you're saying, how can you have what God said if you are not in agreement with God? If God's word said, my youth is renewed as the eagles, why do I go about saying, I am 80 years old? This is what happens to 80-year-old people. Back problems, neck problems, hand problems. You get curved over and you need a walking stick. Why do I have to say that? Is that what the word of God says? The word of God doesn't say that? Oh. So why do I expect that? Why do I expect that? Now, I didn't say the enemy is not going to come and tell you, you're an 80-year-old man. Slow down. I didn't say that. But because the enemy is trying to pump that information into you, doesn't mean that you need to be poured into that mold and be conformed to that. You don't have to accept that. You can be 100 years old and run the marathon. If that's what gets your goat and that's what makes you happy, run all you want. You don't have to be that way. That is not what God said. And if God does not say it, I am not going to agree with it. I'm only called to agree with what God said. That's what confession is, saying the same thing. So what does God's word say? What does the word of God say about your health? You're going to agree with the status quo, or you're going to agree with God? So when you agree with God, then you must be saying, this body of mine is not going to feed anything that is ungodly. This body of mine is not going to feed cancer. This body of mine is not going to feed diabetes. This body of mine is not going to take in high blood pressure. This body of mine is not going to have skin issues. This body of mine is renewed. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. It is renewed. You think when we get to heaven, we're going to be popping some medication? No? But does the word of God say that we are already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? So is it possible that we can tap into what God is doing already and say, I'm already there? So my thinking needs to match up with God's thinking. God thinks a particular way. I need to come into agreement with that, because if I don't, guess what? What the devil says, what the world system says, will become my reality. Not the word of God. Other people's experiences is not the foundation of what I believe. Other people's experiences must not be the foundation of what you believe. What you believe must never be based on other people's experiences or even your own experience. It must be based on what does the word of God say. Because if you base it on other people's experiences, one of these days, their experience will lead you astray. Somebody here. If God said it, I believe it. My experience has nothing to do with it. If God's word says in Psalm 139 that God has parts available, that he has spare parts for my body available. That it's a perfect match for me. I don't need no medication to help me accept that organ. If God's word says that in Psalm 139, then that's what I believe. I've got kidneys that God has for me. I have liver that God has for me. I have a spleen that's a perfect match for me. I have a heart that's a perfect match for me. I have eyes that are a perfect match for me. I have ears that are a perfect match for me. I have toes that are perfect. Whatever it is I need, I got. Amen? So I can say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I am going to sleep. While I sleep, do surgery on me and give me a brand new kidneys. Some of you are thinking, what are you talking about now? I didn't put water in my mouth when I said it. I wasn't speaking Latin when I said it. I don't need those parts when I get to heaven. I need the parts now. Hello? If God has spare parts, then he knows why he had spare parts. I need spare parts. God, do you think God can do surgery on you and there'll be no mark of no cutting? You think that's possible? So, when you were little, and you were growing, did you know that you were growing? You woke up 1 inch taller than when you went to sleep. Huh? So, if that happened, anything can happen. Listen. If a snake can crawl out of his old skin, not die, I didn't say died, and got into a new body. I'm talking about it just came out of its old skin and left the old skin alone and continued. Why can't I do this? Does God love the snake more than he does me? Every day, my cells are changing. The cells that I slept with yesterday are not the same cells I have here now. That's the reality. So, what stops me from believing that the God who gave man life, eternal life, that same God is not working a greater work in my life right now? My thinking, because I'm stuck with the old man and not stepping into true holiness with a new man, is keeping me from experiencing what God wants me to experience today. I don't have to live life based on the dictates of the enemy. I can live life based on what God says right now. Amen? We need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. We need to shed fear, doubt, confusion, limitation out of our thinking and say yes to God. Take me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. as we wrap up tonight. And then we're going to pray. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. He did predestinate that I, one that he foreknew, should be conformed into the image of his Son, not the image of the world or the world system, but to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn among many brethren. We talked about the first creature, a kind which causes the rest to be blessed, meaning the rest of my life to be blessed. Now, I am called to be conformed into the image of his Son that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Wait a minute. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Why? Because he predestined me to be conformed to the image of his Son. Take me to the next verse. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also what? Called. Actually, this verse, that particular verse, is the very lyrics of the very, very, very first song I ever wrote. You guys have not seen that particular part of me. You've not seen it. Those he predestined, he called, and whom he called, them he also what? Justified. And whom he justified, them he also what? Glorified. Oh. So he predestined and called, justified and glorified. Oh, what are we talking about here? What on earth are we talking about here? He called the people he predestined, he called. He not only called them, he justified them. He not only justified them, he glorified them. It didn't say those he called, he will justify and he will glorify. It says he called them, justified them, and glorified them. And what does that mean, glorified? It means that, see, the glory of a thing is all that the thing is. So when God says he glorified me, it says it's simply saying I finished you with all that you are supposed to be. And that glory is the glory that is reinstated. We sinned and we fell short of what? The glory of God. Yeah? That's what the word of God says. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But now God has called me out of that and called me good and perfect. And God justified me, took out all the wrong edges, centered me, and now he glorifies me with himself. Glorifies me with himself. Remember, we're the first were a kind of the first fruit. Now watch this as we wrap up. John. John 17, I'm going to wrap up in just a moment. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Question. Is it possible for you to live a glorious life without God imparting that glory on you? Is it possible for you to be anything that God has not graced you with? It is not. Whatever it is that you are because of what God has given to you. And God says, I called you. In John, it says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I called you. I ordained you. And in my ordination of you, I declared that you be fruitful, that you will know increase, that whatever it is you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Glory is bestowed upon you. It says, thou hast given him, watch this, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Glorify me with your what? Own self. So those he called, he justified, he glorified. And you are created in the image of his dear Son. So what glory is on your life? The glory of whom? Of God. The glory of God. The glory of God is on me. The glory of God is on you. It's not the glory of your race, the glory of your country or nationality, the glory of your sex, whether you're male or female, tall or short. The glory that's on you is the very glory of God himself. Do we believe that? God, I have your glory on my life. Do you think poverty is part of God's glory? No? What about sickness and disease? What about confusion? Alzheimer's? No? Fear? No? None of that? Shame? What about that? No? So why under God's heaven do you and I want to embrace anything that is not like God? If it is not like God, it is not part of my spiritual, physical, mental, emotional DNA. It's not part of me. I refuse it. If it is not like God, it is not for me. Do you buy that? Do you see it? So, I didn't say that the enemy is not going to tell you that you are not what God said. All I'm saying is this, that when the enemy shows up, you let him know that it's too late. I know God's glory is on my life. And this lack, this doubt, this confusion is not the glory. This backache is not the glory. This deaf ear is not the glory. This bad heart is not the glory. So if it's not the glory, I don't want to take it and be gone. I want that which glorifies God. I am going to prove it. Because I receive whatever it is God says I have. That's what I have, and that's what I am. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you receive that? Then we're in the right track. Hallelujah. It is our exercise of faith. Allowing God to be God in our lives and say no to anything that contradicts what God said. Praise God. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have already done in our lives tonight. You've spoken very clearly and very specifically to us. You've reminded us, O God, of the integrity of your word and the reality of your word and what it should mean to us as your people. Lord, may we be, O God, that manifestation that all creation is waiting for. The manifestations of the sons of God. The manifestations of those who are led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Word of God. The manifestation, O God, of those who are not living under the condemnation of the forces of darkness, but are embracing the integrity of who you are and recognizing, O God, that your glory is on us. The same glory that was on Jesus is now on us. You answered this prayer, and we are poured into the mold of the resurrected Christ. It is in the image of the resurrected Christ that we are born. And we say yes to your will and to your word. And we say, let, O God, the integrity of your word affect every aspect of our person, our spirits, our souls, our bodies, that in our going out and in our coming in, your glory is made manifest. We magnify your holy name, and we declare this day with our own mouths, Jesus is Lord. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.